May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Happy 10th day of Christmas and Happy New Year to all. We are just 3 days away from the Feast of the Epiphany, and as you know, it is also the third day of our new year of 2016. You may have noticed, if you looked at your bulletin insert very carefully, there were three possible gospel passages given by the lectionary for today. But since we're going to hear the story, the Epiphany story of the Magi on Wednesday evening at our Epiphany service, I didn't pick that one. I decided to focus on the part of the story of Jesus that is often called the flight into Egypt. And there are a couple of things about this story that I want to highlight this morning. One is the importance of listening to God, even when God speaks in unexpected ways. And two, it is important for us to remember that Jesus, Joseph, and Mary were refugees. First of all, Joseph listened to his dreams. God spoke to Joseph in his dreams, sometimes through an angel of the Lord, who appeared to him shortly after the wise men had left and told Joseph he must take his family and flee to Egypt, or they would be killed. This wasn't the first time that Joseph had received a message from God in a dream. Remember that when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, God sent an angel to Joseph as he slept, telling him that all was well, to stay with Mary, and that, yes, this was God's plan. So Joseph was faithful, and Joseph listened to his dreams. He stayed with Mary. He took Mary and Jesus to Egypt until it was safe for them to return. After some years, another dream called them back to Israel, and yet another dream sent them to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, and almost all we get of his story in the Gospels between here and the beginning of his ministry is this sentence: Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. God still speaks to us, and sometimes God speaks to us in a dream. Perhaps you have had or will have one of those numinous dreams, a dream that is drenched with the divine, a dream that is so powerful that it can change your life. What if Joseph had dismissed those messages that came to him as he slept? What if he had not listened to God? And how might God be speaking to us today? How might God be speaking to you in a way that you're not expecting? Perhaps this story at the beginning of this year can encourage us to be very intentional in listening for God's guidance. And then the second important point: Jesus was a refugee. Joseph and Mary and the infant Jesus were refugees, forced to flee their home because of persecution. Herod was not about to let a young king whose birth had been announced by a star grow up and usurp his power. So he ordered all the male children in Israel under 2 years of age to be slaughtered. And Jesus escaped with Joseph and his mother, and they were saved because they crossed the border into Egypt. There have always been brutal rulers like Herod throughout the ages and even today. There have always been other places where people are persecuted, murdered. There have always been other people, thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people over time, whose lives have been saved by crossing a border. You may or may not know that the state of Florida leads the nation in the number of refugees who have made a home here in the past few years. California is running second. And most of the recent immigrants in Florida have come from Cuba. According to the 2014 statistics, there were 2,177 refugees from Cuba who came to Florida in 2014. Iraq is a distant second with 425. Myanmar, 355. No, I'm sorry, 155. The Democratic Republic of Congo, 89. 75 from the Sudan, 54 from Somalia. And then just a handful, I think maybe 10 or fewer, from these countries: Colombia, Iran, Afghanistan, Jordan, Pakistan, Syria, and Palestine. Again, these are statistics from 2014 from the U.S. Office of Refugee Resettlement. It seems particularly important for us to listen to the story of the flight into Egypt today in 2016. It seems important for us to wrestle with this story, the flight into Egypt, and remember that Jesus and his family were refugees. In the light of the current world crises of immigration, and particularly the plight of Syrian refugees today. While looking through Facebook yesterday, I just did a little search, and I found three groups on Facebook. I know there are more, but that came up at the top. If you're not familiar with Facebook, these are basically function as chat rooms where people can have, you know, write messages back and forth. But these groups are closed, which means you can't see the messages or post in the group unless someone who's already a member lets you in. First group that came up is called No Syrian Refugees in America, a closed group with 2,183 members. Another closed group, Arkansans, people from Arkansas against Syrian refugees. That one has 2,553 members. But then there's another group right under that. Perth welcomes Syrian refugees. I think that's Australia. I'm not. A closed group with 4,067 members. They kind of balance each other's out. I'm sure that if I had the time and I kept looking, I would have found more groups. But as you know, people are taking sides on this issue. And then I was looking through some newspaper articles that are online, and a headline from this past November caught my eye. Syrian refugees in Florida find themselves fearful all over again. This from USA Today, November 15th, shortly after the terrorist attacks in Paris. And this article tells the story of a Syrian family who traveled for 2 years as refugees, and that ended with their resettlement in South Florida. But after all the horror of war and family members dying or being killed, and the fear and difficulty of living as a refugee for about 2 years, the family was now afraid again. This time, they're afraid of persecution by their neighbors. They're afraid of being persecuted by Americans because of their religion. The family is Muslim. What is our response to the refugees of our day? How do we live out our faith and show love for our neighbor, particularly neighbors who are of a different faith? I also saw a video of our newish Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, visiting a school in England that is welcoming the refugees in the community. And he assures us that hospitality and love are our most formidable weapons against hatred and extremism. Hospitality and love are our most formidable weapons against hatred and extremism. I think Jesus said something very much like that. So how and where do we hear God's voice? How do we listen to God in the midst of chaos and fear and crises and confusion in the world? What would God have us do? Another connection for me through Facebook is I've been able to keep in touch with some parishioners from my parish in Waterville, Maine. And right about the same time that that article came out in USA Today, a young woman who had been in the J2A group and when I was in Waterville and we had gone on pilgrimage together, named Karen, posted on Facebook. Karen is now in medical school. So shortly after the Paris attacks, when all sorts of fear-based responses were flying everywhere and lots of hate speech, Karen posted this on Facebook. Basically, she said she was appalled at one of the suggestions that had come out that all people who are Muslim in this country should have to register on some kind of master list. If that happens, Karen said, I'm going to put my name on that list, and I invite all of you to do so as well, she said. If all of us say we are Muslim, then either we all are persecuted or none of us are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right now, I can't think of a better example of that.